Oh, Heavenly Father, you have given to us this, your word, and we ask that you would open our hearts and minds that we might understand it. Help us to be more than just simply hearers, but help us also to be doers, that we might do that which you have commanded, that we might do that which pleases you, our God and King, for we come through Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Have you noticed in our day and age that many people are perplexed by what is the will of God? They are striving to find that will. They're looking to this, to that. They are seeking it here, seeking it there. And many times they find it, at least they think they find it. How often do these people expect or hope some mystical revelation that God will give to them? Something that God might, even an audible voice that God would give to them to say, this is what you're to do, or that's what I want you to do, whatever the case may be in terms of their desire and what they're looking towards. And yet, as we come to the Lord's Prayer, we have, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or more literally, may it happen, the will of you, as in heaven, also upon the earth. The Greek actually has heaven first and earth second. And it begins with the imperative, as opposed to what is the desire that is there. May it happen. What? Your will, God. So what are we doing when we pray? As we're seeking the will of God somehow or another. We're asking that His will would be accomplished. So what are we doing when we pray in the Lord's Prayer? First off, what are we praying for? What is it? And secondly, what do we know about God's will? And what are we basically, as I said, asking for as we do so? When we cry out in this prayer, this model prayer that our God has given, your will be done. What is this concept that God has given to us of the will of God? We are, after all, asking God that His will, that it would happen, that it would come about. And as we look and as we study Scripture, we see that there are really two parts, two aspects to God's will. The first we could call His decreed will. In other words, His will that we don't necessarily know what it is until it actually happens. But it is His purpose, His ultimate purpose. In other words, it's His will in terms of His creation to all the way to His glorification. And we get some sort of a highlight of what's going on because God has, through prophecy, told us some of the things that He's going to do. But by and large, His decreed will is a mystery to us. We might know the overarching aspects to it, but we do not know all the little details. Back in the early 60s, who in our nation, who in this world would have expected the Soviet Empire to crumble? And yet that was part of God's will. And until it happened, nobody was going to be expecting it. For that matter, who knows what's going to happen to this country in the next 6 months, let alone in the next 10, 15 years. We do not know. Those things are hidden from us. And so we see these as part of God's will, and they are decreed by God, but they are, in some measures, mysterious to us. They are hidden from us. We know that God created, that there was the fall, And all these things were decreed by God, and that he was decreed that he is going to save for himself a people, and that he will glorify those people and bring an end to all the evil and the sin that's there, and restore his creation. But how he actually gets from point A to point B, we don't always know. In Psalm 115, verse 3, we read, "But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." It speaks to us of this decretal will. God does whatever he desires. He is doing whatever he desires, even this very moment. All that is happening around us, in the world around us, is in accordance with God's purposes, his will. Paul in Romans 9, 18 and 19. "Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nobody. But it is God who has willed it. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." It's all in accordance with God's will. And it's not capricious. He has purpose. He has a plan. His decree is the beginning of history and the end of history. And this, his plan is being worked out throughout those two posts. What God purposes to happen, whether he himself effects it, in other words, he himself does it, or whether he permits it to happen through the agency of somebody else or something else, it is still following the pattern and the will of our God. He is ultimately the first cause of all things. And as I say, it is unknown to us often until it actually comes about. And so we need to study history. We need to understand the history of things because of, first off, their connections to what is happening today, but also to see what God has done so that we can have confidence in our God that in times to come, he will still be with those who seek him. We also see his promises that he is revealed to us. Think of the proto-evangelion, the first gospel, the first mention of a gospel. That is, he is speaking to Satan and the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent and so on and so forth. A promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of Satan. The seed of the serpent. That Christ would come, that he would die for us, that he would ultimately give his life to make perfect satisfaction for us. And as we see through the scriptures, we see this thread and we see it happening and God telling us this is going to happen. It will happen. And for us, it has happened. Because Christ did die on that cross. And now we have a new promise that carries us on, that he will come again. And so our hope is not just an idle hope, but it has a hope that has a foundation and a basis in the will and purposes of God. It's not just God's will also is not just a decreed will. In other words, it's not just something and saying, well, this will happen and this will happen and this will happen. It's also something that we call a revealed will. There's some other terms for it as well. But here it is the will of God that he purposes for his people and for technically for all people. This particular part of his will often is not even carried out. this is what God has laid down for his moral creatures. In other words, this is what he has said. This is what I want you to do. As we've already started to look at the Ten Commandments and looking at the Heidelberg Catechism, the first commandment, that is the first place that we understand what it is God would have us to do as his people and as all people. God desires that all people would humble themselves and look to him as God. However, not everybody does. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, we read, But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So even in the time of Moses, they understood that there was things there that they needed to do. They needed to accomplish. And it wasn't that they were to build the greatest civilization that was around, but rather they needed to walk righteously before God, to show mercy. And we see these things commanded to us, and we call that the revealed will of God. In other words, he's revealed it to us and given it to us. It's there before us, as Moses is talking about here in Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. The word is near you. It's in your mouth. You speak it. You have it. Scripture has given to us in the Ten Commandments the revealed will of God. And we summarize it by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They're connected. They're tied together. Because as we love our neighbor, because we love our God, they're all tied together. The entire Bible, in many ways, is for our instruction, to teach us and how to apply those 10 words into different situations. But it all is done because of what? Our love for God, for what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. We cannot separate the two. God has promised also to do what? To give us wisdom. Think of James. You have not because you do not ask. But also, God will, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. How often do we understand God's will? It's not a mysterious thing. There is some of it that is mysterious. We don't understand. But that is not for us to know and to understand until he reveals it to us. But we pray that God's purposes be recognized. As we come and we pray to our God, we're really praying that his purposes would indeed come to fruition and to be recognized by all. Your will be done. Notice that it's on heaven or in, it's in heaven and on earth or upon earth, upon the earth. And so it has this idea of a universal understanding. When it talks about in heaven, he's talking there basically regarding the angels. These angels are at God's command. Think of the ladder that Jacob saw. And the angels were passing between earth and heaven, going back and forth on this ladder. Well, they were going at the beck and call of God. Christ being the ladder, so that there was the access that we have to God, but it was the angels being there. Or think of Daniel, where an angel has been sent to Daniel because he has been in prayer to inform him, to help him, to elucidate, to give him some sort of instruction. And we see in the revelation of John, the same sort of thing. The angels in that vision to what? Come at God's command to help. And they do so immediately. Think of the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel. What was going on there? we have these weird, mysterious chariots that seem to go here, there, and everywhere, and they go at the beck and call of whom? God. That's a description of angels. As they are going at the beck and call of God to do the purposes that God has in store for them, that He has called them to do and desires them to do. In Psalm 103, verses 21 and 22, bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As the psalmist there is seeing the ministers, you ministers of His, the hosts of heaven, ministering for God, serving God. And we see the throne room scene there in Revelation chapter 4, where the angels are there before God to do what? His bidding. And they're there consciously and ready to go wherever He calls them to go. We see the same sort of picture in the book of Job, don't we? Where all the angels have been called and gathered into God's presence. And even Satan comes to this gathering. But the angels are called and summoned and sent by God. And they do so quickly, immediately. But it also says, upon the earth. In our catechism, it talks here, first off, that we should deny ourselves. Is that what Jesus tells us? Who are His disciples? Who are His followers? And He says, this is what you need to do, deny yourself. How often do we want to do what we want to do as opposed to doing what God wants to do? Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Or how about Christ Himself? There, in the garden before the cross, and He prays, O Lord, if it is possible, take this cup from Me. But nevertheless, Your will be done. Your purposes. He was denying Himself for the purposes of God. And is that not what we are praying for as we come before our God and say, God, Your will be done. That His will, not ours, His will would be done. That He would be the one who is working in us. And that His purposes would be fulfilled in us and not our own desires and purposes. Sometimes those desires and purposes fit, blend in as His children. Sometimes they are what? Contrary. Because of our stiff-necked as the children of Israel were described. And we want our own desires, our own purposes, and we ignore God's to do what we want to do instead of what God wants us to do. We need to remember that we are to deny ourselves. And as we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are asking God to help us to deny ourselves so that we will do His will. Another part of it, of doing God's will, is the disputing. Not disputing God's will, as our catechism puts it. Think of Job, his failure, really. He was disputing with God. He was questioning God. I am righteous, and look at all that has happened to me. I haven't sinned against You. My integrity. And yet You have caused and allowed all this misery to happen to me. He failed to trust God. He was disputing with God. And what was God's answer? Job, who made you? Who made all that's around you? Where were you when I did all this? Remember who I am, Job. And isn't that where our dispute, when we dispute with God, where we begin to argue with God about what is going on? Why are you doing this with me and to me and against me? We are usually fighting against God because we want something else. And we don't like what God's given to us. And we're forgetting that we are God's what? Child. He will never discard us. He will never take us to a place where we will be lost. We are failing to trust in His goodness. That was Job's problem. He failed to trust God in God's goodness. Yeah, there may be a season in which it may feel like where's the good in all of this? But He's there. He cares. He takes us through it. Luke chapter 22, verse 42 reads, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me, and nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Notice how it works? The pain, He sweated blood, He died an agonizing death on the cross, and Christ is still, that was God's will. Was it good? Yeah, ultimately. It was horrible to go through as a human being. It was horrible. But it ultimately had what? Our good in mind. And so we can see in the scriptures also that what? He went joyfully to this, even in the midst of His agony. Or 1 Corinthians 7:24, "Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called." Here's Paul saying, look, don't complain that you're a slave. Stay there. If you happen to be able to get enough money to redeem yourself, go ahead. That's fine. No problem. But don't agonize over the state that you're in. Don't get upset. Don't begin to wish and to want, "I wish I had that." The jealousy, the envy, and all the rest of it, the coveting. Be content. Because God is the one who is caring for you. His goodness. And so we need not talk at God and trying to get ways that our own will done instead of God's. Ultimately is what it's about. But rather we need to do what we've been redeemed for. In Ephesians chapter 2, we have that wonderful, beautiful statement that it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, as a gift of God that no one can boast. Well, that little section concludes, "For you are what? The workmanship of God to do His good works." Should we not see rather our life as, how am I to serve my God? Why has He redeemed me? What works has He given to me that in Christ I may glorify His name? What purpose is there that I may serve Him? What a marvelous God we have. And it is His will that we want done, not our own. I don't know about the rest of you, but my will, if I did my will, my life would be in absolute shambles. And if my will was what was supposed to govern the world, boy, it would be something some horror flick that would be even worse. But our God is good. Our God is the one who has established all things. And as we look at what's around us, should we not see that good? I don't think many of us have suffered through lack of food. God's given it to us. We still have enough air to breathe. God still has provided that good. He's given to us families. Those families may not always be the best, that you know, most ideal, but guess what? Neither are we. And yet God has been gracious in how many ways. Have you noticed that these first three petitions have all been interrelated? The first one, holy be your name. And the idea there was, oh Lord, help me to know who God is, who you are, so that I can make your name holy. Well, how can that happen? Well, your kingdom come. In other words, your rule, oh Lord, has to be to come to its fruition and so on and so forth. Well, how can that kingdom come? How can that rule happen unless we humble ourselves and seek the will of God? Do you see how these three fit together? It's a chain. It's a chain that works backwards from what it was what Jesus gave to us, but it is nevertheless necessary. Each part is necessary for the previous one. And because God is holy, He's the one whose will is to be done. He works in us. So when we are praying, are we praying for obedience? You thought about that? Are we praying that there would be those around us, and ourselves included, that would be obeying God? And we're not praying for an obedience that is simply for the sake of actually doing it out of compulsion or whatever, but out of love. A love for our God. Because as we pray for an obedience out of love for our God, what happens? The church will grow. And as the church grows, who gets glorified? Christ, our God, is recognized as holy. So as we pray, are we praying that we would be obedient as a husband, as a wife? Not to our husband or wife, but to our God. To reflect who He is towards our spouse. As we praying for obedience as fathers and mothers and children. To do what is right. To love our God so much that we desire Him. And to reflect that in our relationship with our family. Are we praying for the obedience of our church officers and for the members? That the church itself might be built up and strengthened, and that our love for one another would grow more and more. To blossom into such a marvelous flower that all the world would know it and see it. When we pray this, are we praying for our employers and employees to do the will of God, to serve God in that way? Are we praying for all of our relationships? And as I say, this is not just for me, it's for others as well. Remember, we started out, Our Father. This is a prayer for all of God's people to be prayed for Him. God's will is not such a mystery, is it? We have a tendency to try and make it a mystery. But He has given to us His Word. He's revealed to us the will that He would have for us. And sometimes it requires that we do a little bit of work and labor to understand it, to know it. We have those 66 books in our Bible. And while it may require a little bit of understanding where this is what's happening to me, and oh, this is what happened back then, and what's the connections? It's pretty well displayed for us. What happened to them happens to us too. And God's will is revealed and known. His decreed will, we can't do anything, we can't change any of that. That's His purpose. But when He's revealed it to us, what He would have us to do, He's not left us ignorant. But it may take a little bit of work and effort on our part. May we seek to do the will of our God today, tomorrow, forever. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of Christ, our love for Him, for what He has done for us. That He gave up His will to do the will of the Father.